reference to Colossians chapter 2 and verse 8. Get that reference in one hand. And get Psalm 46 and verse 10 in the other hand. And we'll look at these two verses tonight. I mentioned we ran up to Indianapolis Monday and attended a meeting Monday night. Then I got to go to a prayer meeting at Ravenbrook Tuesday morning. And they asked me to speak at the prayer meeting. So I gave them some of the things that we were studying on Wednesday night about the rudiments of the world. And then we got home about 3:30 yesterday afternoon. So we've been on the run since Sunday. And whenever that happens on a Monday, then it's just about 14 days in a row, one thing after another without a break. So I feel a little tired. So pray for me if you would. We had a real good visit up in Indianapolis and got to see Reverend Penn and got to see Brother Tony Harris and Fred Boyd. And I got to see Mother Perrin, Elaine Perrin. They all told me to be sure and tell the church that they said hello. They all want to come back down here, and they remember the good fellowship they've had at Calvary. And when they get talking about it, and if someone's close by that hasn't been down here with them, they say, oh, and the way they feed us when we go down there. They have the best food down there. They talk about fried fish and I said all the desserts and stuff that go along with it. So they love to come down here. Ravenbrook has a new pastor, a fellow named Sean Taylor now. Her brother Harris is still involved in the church and more of an assistant pastor capacity, more like an elder in the church. And they've remodeled their building outside and fixed it up on the inside, and the church is growing. And they call it Ravenbrook Bible Church now. Unfortunately, they took Baptist off the name. I don't like that, but I'm not the pastor of that church. And good, solid people, love the Lord, know the book. I hope it'll ever be that way. And they send their love, all the old heads and Mrs. Harris, and I'm talking about Tony's mother-in-law, Deacon Harris, and the gals that sing so beautifully for us. They all said to tell you hello and how much they talk about how much they love Calvary and the people that are here. And I thank God for them. All right, let's review this verse and then we'll turn over to Psalm 146 and read a great verse. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 8, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. So the Holy Spirit points out something we need to be aware of. Three important things here at the end of the age that every Christian ought to be aware of and beware of. And then a great verse, Psalm 46 and verse 10. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. Be still and know that I am God. All right, Father, we thank you for letting us come to your house tonight. Thank you for our brothers and sisters in Christ that are on the mission field and carrying out your work both here at home and abroad. They need property, Lord. They need money. They need spiritual discernment and help. We all need to be fruitful and be led by your Spirit. And pray that you'll supply each and every need, that Christ might be honored and glorified, and Lord, many souls might be swept into the kingdom of God before your coming. We thank you, looking forward, Lord, to this next Sunday morning for the resurrection of our Lord. And we think of his crucifixion on this day of the week. Our hearts are humbled. We're thankful for that blood that was shed and that broken body. It's made all the difference in our lives. We thank you for taking on the penalty for our sin. And knowing what to do with those sins, Lord, we're glad that you redeemed us from our sins and iniquities and paid the price and pardoned us and gave us eternal life and birthed us into your family. And we thank you for treating us like a son of God now instead of just a lost, unsaved sinner. We know we don't deserve any of these blessings, but we sure are enjoying them, Lord, and we thank you for them. Thanks for loving us. Help us to love you with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength. We ask it in your blessing on the message tonight. We pray you speak to our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we've been studying and identifying the rudiments of the world, the first things that the world teaches people. They teach young people these things. And the world approaches these rudiments as if they're indispensable things. This is the world's opinion. And they approach these rudiments as if they are absolutely necessary for you to prosper and be successful, which is a part of the vain deceit that comes along with the world's philosophy. A careful examination of Scripture will reveal the fact that those so-called fundamentals or rudiments are not absolutely necessary, and they can potentially lead a young person, including young Christian men and women, down the wrong road in the wrong direction. And the world places its emphasis on the importance of you making money. That's what they equate success with, how much money you make. Materialism, in other words. But stop and consider this and just weigh this over against that philosophy. You remember what Jesus said? Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 24, he said, no man can serve two masters. He said, either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon, materialism. Mammon being materialism. Materialism being comprised of earthly goods and property and riches. These things are priority and therefore rudimentary when it comes to the world's way of thinking. So the world says, pursue an education. It says, get active. Make all the money that you possibly can make. And these things will enable you to gain power, and they'll open the right doors for you. But the Scripture says things like this. It's just so diametrically opposed, so different when you hear it. The Scripture says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So could you have any more power or prestige than what comes along with being a son of God? So why would you want to substitute something as flimsy and as an education for, being in tune spiritually with your Creator, the one that made the universe? Now I'm balancing what I'm trying to say here, and you cut me some slack. I'm not saying you don't have to make money. You got to make a living. You get married, you're going to have to support a wife. You're going to have to support a family. But that ought not to be your priority and the main motivation in your life, money. It ought to be being right with God in your heart and obeying your Savior and doing what He wants you to do. And you'll be happy. The world says, in addition to these rudiments we talked about, it also says be curious. It says be active. Be positive. We talk about all these things. But the Holy Spirit says two extremely important things to Christians. And we read them here tonight in these two opening verses of Scripture. The Holy Spirit says, beware, beware, Colossians 2:8, those three things, philosophy, the traditions of men, the rudiments of the world, and the Holy Spirit says to us, be still, be still, be still and know that I'm God. And I will be exalted among the heathen, and I'll be exalted in the earth. So, why not get on the winning side right now? That's on the Lord's side. I mean, He's the one that's going to win in the end. I mean, He's the one that's going to be exalted. And you'd do well, you'd be wise to team up with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I want to spend the rest of what time I have tonight on Psalm 146 and verse 10. And Psalm 146 and verse 10 is one of the most comforting and reassuring verses of Scripture to the children of God found anywhere in the Bible. And it has a calming and a peaceful effect upon your soul. I love that verse. How many of you love that verse? be still and know that I am God. When Steve Shalakti was here a few years ago, I noticed a lot of people bought that magnetic bumper sticker that had it on there. Be still and know that I am God. That's a great verse of Scripture. Now, the commandment to be still is also one of the most difficult commandments of God to obey. And it's because we're in this stinking old flesh, isn't it? To be still, how many of you parents have ever told your children, be still? Yeah. You know what that, they knew what that meant. That meant be quiet sometimes. To be still is to be silent. To be still requires you to stop. To stop the rush and the busyness of life until God's Spirit has a chance to speak to your heart. And this is perhaps the greatest challenge that you face when it comes to enjoying a real, refreshing, vibrant spiritual life on a daily basis. You have to stop long enough to get in tune with God. Amen. God is God, and He always has been God and always will be God. Our problem is we have to come to know He is God. So the verse says, be still and know that I am God. And in order to gain that knowledge, you have to discipline yourself to be still. So believers who do not take time to be still, man, I'm trying to tell you all a dying truth here tonight. I hope you're paying attention. In order to you have to take time to be still, and inevitably, if you don't take this time, you're going to rush on, and you're going to try to the best of your ability to conduct what you think is a Christian life, and to convince yourself that what you're doing is acceptable to God. But when you take that approach, you quickly wear yourself out, and once you reach the place of diminishing spiritual returns, you'll find yourself frustrated, spiritually I'm talking about, and you'll find life to be very unsatisfying as a Christian. So those who are conscious of, those are the consequences of not being still. There's no substitute for being still. And once you're exhausted and you're staring the results of all your activity in the face, usually it's activity that's been performed in the energy of the flesh, it amounts to vanity, which is fruitlessness and emptiness. In order to gain your spiritual equilibrium back and for Christ to be the center of your life, you have to slow down and you have to once again make the flesh be still. It's a battle. It's not easy. It's the only thing that works, though, to facilitate spiritual life. And having something real with God takes time. I just don't know any other way to say it. I mean, don't need to have 10 ways of saying it. To have something real with God takes time. You've got to take time to have something real with God. You have to call time out. You have to submit yourself to Christ as Lord, because that's who He is. And you have to put everything else aside and spend quality time with God alone in order to enjoy the Christian life and to be effective living it. I can tell you what our biggest problem is nowadays as Americans, American Christians. It's trying to fit God into our schedule. How ignorant is that? If it wasn't for God, you wouldn't have any schedule. And you don't fit God into your schedule. You get on your knees and you humbly petition the God of heaven in the name of Jesus Christ to meet with you and to plan out what He would have you do with the day that He's given you. Yeah, you got to get that approach squared around and things straighten up in right relationship with God. We always get it backward. That's our problem. Know what you have to believe? You have to believe by faith that God is in control of your circumstances, that He's big enough and powerful enough to handle your problems and to work through your set of circumstances to accomplish His pleasure and His purpose in your life. How many of you believe that He's big enough to do that? Yeah. Well, you've got to believe that every day. That peace comes from being still and not laboring and running and pushing yourself to the limit and working in the energy of the flesh. Why do we hustle and run around so? Is it not because we're trying to make up for God's deficiencies? We're afraid God won't get this done or God won't allow this to happen, so we'll ensure that it'll happen. We'll take it in our own hands and we'll do it. We say things like, I'm talking about people and Christian people, and you've probably said it, and I've said it. You know, there just doesn't seem to be enough hours in the day. Well, when there's not enough hours in the day, it's because you're in control of it and trying to do it all by yourself. Yeah. And if you just stop for a few minutes and center yourself in Christ and let Him be Lord and be still and give your day over to Him and ask Him to labor in and through you, and strive according to His working, which worketh in us mightily, you find if you spend your time with God in prayer and in your Bible and getting your day off to the right start, He will help you accomplish more in that day than you could ever do on your own rushing around. Isn't that true? Can anybody say amen? So we scramble around as if we didn't do it, it'd not get done. So we take it upon ourselves to kind of help God out. You're not going to fare very well spiritually when you're in that mode. Now, I think we would all agree it's not God who's deficient. We're the deficient ones. And a lot of our activity amounts to a lack of faith and an inability to wait on God and to be still. That's the long and short of it. I'll say this. God is faithful, and He tries to warn us not to exit the path of peace and emerge onto the expressway of life that produces tension and nervousness and anxiety. But God's voice is a still small voice, and it's easily drowned out by all the other voices that we allow to enter. So he whispers to us, be still and know that I am God. And if you're not careful, you won't even hear His voice. In the end, God will be exalted, like the verse says, not me, not you, not man. It's a serious mistake not to be still. Lost people make the mistake of not being still. Lost people. And in their rush to avoid God or pretend that He doesn't exist, they devote tremendous amounts of time and energy to obtain things which are nothing less than substitutes for God. It's a big mistake. One of the hardest things for men and women to do, and I mean lost or saved, is to be still. And once sin gets a grip and it starts to direct your life, it's hard to slow down. I'm talking about the power of sin, like we're talking about on Sunday mornings. It's hard to stop. And sin keeps you active. Sin will keep you running from pillar to post and engaged in some kind of activity. It often gets used to this, our flesh does. And matter of fact, your flesh craves it. Matter of fact, you get active, and if you've been active for any period of time at all, I mean, you want to be active all the time. When you slow down and have a few hours or a little bit of time to yourself, sometimes you can't stand it. You're bored because you're just so used to going and going and going. And we get in that mode and it can destroy your spiritual life. You have to be doing something. Even if you know it's not good for you, you still just have to be doing something. Unsaved men and women often have guilty consciences. And they don't like to be alone with themselves. They don't like to sit still because their consciences start to bother them if they haven't already seared them, you know, like the Bible says over there in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 2. And they don't want to be still or stop to consider their ways or ask themselves if their way of living is pleasing to God. And it's always wise to stop and consider your ways. Both, especially true for Christians, but lost people, if they would do that, they'd probably end up in church. Turn to the little book of Haggai. Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi. Third book from the end of your Old Testament, Haggai, chapter 1. Consider your ways. The Holy Spirit says, consider your ways. Haggai chapter 1, verse 5. Now, therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. He's trying to get you to slow down. Take a look at yourself. Evaluate what you're doing, how you're living. Verse 6. Ye have sown much and bring in little. Ye eat, but ye have not enough. Ye drink, but ye are not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put into a bag with holes. Your money falls out the bottom. You don't even get to enjoy it. It's gone, used up for you. Know what happened. Verse 7, thus saith the Lord of hosts. Do what? Consider your ways. When this is your case, what's a person to do? Well, it's time to slow down and to be still. Give consideration to what you're doing and how you're living. And lost people need to do that. Saved people need to do that. If you fail to be still and become still long enough to know God is God and that you're not God or a God, you know, if you're a lost person, don't do that. You'll probably end up in hell. The world's got all these lost people running so fast and hard and watching this and doing that that they come to a church service like this and they can't sit through it. It's too boring. It doesn't move fast enough for them. They've lost their ability to sit still and to consider their ways. If you're saved, and you've bought into the world's philosophy and the world's gospel, you know, if you've adopted their philosophy and their traditions and their rudiments, God help you, it's going to be really hard for you to be still. Yeah. Which gospel are you going to believe and practice? See, we started this series of lessons, I don't know if you remember way back there, but we said the world doesn't have any good news. We've got the good news. Christ died for our sins. He was buried. He rose the third day according to the Scriptures. We're blessed with all blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Ascended up on high, seated in Christ in heavenly places. We've got the good news. The world doesn't have anything to compare to it. So they give you what? Philosophy, tradition, their rudiments. That's the world's gospel. And they even have Scripture that goes along with it. Here's the world's Scripture. Here's some of the things the world says. Pull yourself up by your own bootstraps. Well, that's the world's philosophy. Do the best you can, everything will be all right. How many of you ever heard that? Witness somebody, yeah. Do the best you can, everything will turn out okay. That's in the world's Bible. That's their Scripture. It's certainly not God's Bible, and it's not His Scripture. It's the world's gospel. Hell is here on earth right now. Brother Watson, going out the door last Sunday, told me, he said, I was listening to the radio the other day and I heard a fellow on there said there's no such place as hell. And he was just shaking his head, you know, on the way out. Yeah, the world likes that, you know. They don't want to believe in hell. They don't want to believe in a God that judges them. They don't want to be accountable for their behavior. So they do away with hell, you know, that's like doing away with the punishment at the end of the day. So they don't want there to be any hell. There is no God. They can find that in the world's Bible. Evolution's a fact. That'd be a good verse for the world's Bible. Creation is a myth. How many of you heard that? Okay, a few of you. Are you a worldling? Have you adopted the world's philosophy and tradition and rudiments? There's a lot of Christians that have swallowed them hook, line, and sinker. The world says, know yourself. The world says, love yourself. The world says, appreciate yourself. You know, you deserve this, so treat yourself. Buy this or that for yourself. Pamper yourself. The world says, exalt yourself. The world preaches, save thyself. That's what they said to Christ when he was on the cross. If you be the Christ, save thyself and come down. We'll believe in you. Well, they'd love it if he would have saved himself. That's what they're working at. That would prove they're right about things. Self is at the center of the world's gospel. And in the world's gospel, you are your own Savior. In the Scriptures, God's Son, Lord Jesus Christ, is the only Savior. Turn with me to some good verses over in the book of Isaiah, chapter 45. Isaiah 45, look at verse 22 with me. Isaiah 45, 22. Great verse. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God. Be still and know that I am God. For I am God, and there is none else. I have sworn by myself, the word has gone out of my mouth in righteousness, and shall not return that unto me every knee, and shall not return. And here's what the word said, that unto me every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall swear. Surely shall one say, in the Lord have I righteousness and strength. Even to him shall men come, and all that are incensed against him shall be ashamed. Yeah, there's only one Savior. You have to look to him if you're going to be saved. There's no philosophy, there's no tradition, no rudiment that can bring you peace or take God's place. But you have to get still enough and be still long enough to know that. Proverbs chapter 21. Proverbs chapter 21, verse 30. Proverbs 21, verse 30. We've been talking about these things now for several weeks. Philosophy, tradition, the rudiments of the world. Here's a great verse. It's the antithesis of all that stuff that the world wants to heap on you that Paul warned us about. Proverbs 21 and verse 30. There is no wisdom, nor understanding, nor counsel against the Lord. That's right. None of it worth having if it's against Christ. So be still and know that I am God. That's the Holy Spirit talking to you. Psalm 46 and verse 10. Turn to Acts chapter 4 quickly with me. Acts chapter 4. One time the Apostle Peter was up preaching to his own countrymen, the Israelites. And Peter and John had just healed a lame man, and Simon Peter was filled with the Holy Ghost. And he said to the crowd that day, Acts chapter 4, look at the last half of verse 8. He said, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole. They just told a crippled fellow to get up and walk, and he did it. He's healed by the power of God. Be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders. Your own people rejected him. He came to his own received him not. You rejected your own Messiah, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Boy, you talk about an airtight verse. There's one. There's no other Savior except the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no salvation for you, no philosophy, no tradition, no rudiment of the world that can save your soul outside of Jesus Christ. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else. Be still and know that I am God. And I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. I'll close by saying this. Jesus is coming soon. And he can't get here soon enough for me. And when he gets here, he doesn't plan on sharing his glory with any man who refuses to submit to his jurisdiction or to his constitution. Or with any man who believes in a substitute gospel manufactured by the world. And that's what that philosophy and tradition and rudiments are. It's a substitute gospel manufactured by the world. And if the Holy Spirit says to me and you, those of us who have been born again, beware, beware, lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the traditions of men, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. And the Holy Spirit says to me and you, be still, and know that I am God. And if you'll beware and you'll be still, you'll be fine. And if you don't, if you're not aware, and if you're not still, you're going to suffer. Beware of philosophy, vain deceit. Beware of tradition of men. Beware of the rudiments of the world. And the Spirit of God says, be still and know that I am God. So good advice in the Scriptures. What a book.